Now, I'm going to be referring to a number of scriptures this morning, so I'm not going to be doing a reading as such. All the readings are going to be up on the screen, and I'll be reading them aloud as well. And if there was such a thing as United Reformed Church Illuminati, who knows? I mean, we wouldn't know, would we? But if there was such a thing as the... I've got this hunch that last week they would be sitting up in their high tower going, I say, did you hear that Belcher was made an elder last week? Yes, let's drop him in the deep end and talk about money. There's this echoing laughter throughout the castle. It's just what I dream about at night. Here's a quote that's stuck with me for decades. Money talks. What does yours say about you? Anybody seen that before? I remember hearing it years ago. There's a story about three lads in the playground. And they're arguing about whose dad is the richest and earns the most money. And the first one says, well, my dad scribbles a few words on a bit of paper. He calls it a poem. And he sells it for £100. And the second lad looks at him and says, it's nothing. My dad scribbles a few words on a bit of paper. He calls it a song. And he gets paid £1,000. The third lad's looking at both of them and shaking his head. He says, my dad scribbles a few words on a bit of paper. He calls it a sermon, and it takes 10 people to get all the money in. So here are some of my scribbles. And we're going to be talking about money and giving this morning. It's the first time in 3 years I've heard a talk about money. So it shows how often it happens. And the Lord is going to set the scene. So I would gently suggest you fasten your seatbelts. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither wrath, moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do you know, Jesus spoke more about money than he did about sex, or heaven, or hell. Money is a big deal to Jesus, and pretty much when he was talking about it, he didn't talk about it in a friendly way. Money comes with a health warning. In fact, it comes with a death warning. He says in Matthew 19:24, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And my guess is that there are some rich people out there who are going to say something like, no, Jesus. The Bible says it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Money isn't bad at all. Well, just a sec. That isn't what Jesus has just said. Jesus hasn't mentioned anything here about loving money. It is harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Period. And the fact is that it is impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, I know that there have been attempts by some Bible scholars to sanitize this quote that Jesus gave, this metaphor about camels and needles, but the majority will tell you that you've got to take this at face value. A real camel, a real needle, it ain't possible. Jesus is clearly telling us that money has the capacity to prevent people from entering heaven. Michael Green writes this: it is impossible for a rich person to enter heaven. It can't be done. And why not? Because money tends to make us selfish, materialistic, independent of God and of our fellows, and distracted with methods of retaining our wealth. Wealth leads to an overconfidence, which is the very antithesis of the childlike spirit of trusting dependence on the goodness and mercy of God. Wealth was something Jesus set his own face against. Christians who have great possessions are in great peril. End quote. So Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What the Bible does expect us to do is to provide for our relatives, 1 Timothy 5. It commends work and provision for the future, Proverbs 6. And encourages us to enjoy the good things that God's given us, 1 Timothy 4. But what Jesus is most concerned about is selfishness. His disciples are not to lay up treasures for themselves. The question is, what does it mean to lay up treasures in heaven rather than treasures here on earth? So we're going to turn to Jesus for some pointers here. Pointer one, do we maximize God or money? So Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21, Jesus is speaking, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. So this man's crops had produced an unknown amount. He's never seen that much before. And he asked himself, oh no, whatever am I going to do? I haven't got enough space to store my crops. Solution, I'm going to tear down my barns and I will build even bigger barns. That's what I'll do with all my extra wealth. That's what I'm going to do at the end of the year when the stock market's going through the roof. What will you do with your extra money, rich man? I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to amass even more. And then he says to himself, well, you clever little sausage, you. Let's relax and eat and be merry, for you've got goods and you've stored it up for years to come. And God calls him a fool. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Now, what you hear people saying is, oh, so unlucky he died when everything was going so well for him. Tragic that he couldn't finish his plans and see the benefit. But Jesus says that that isn't the tragedy. The tragedy isn't what he's left behind, but what lay ahead. Eternity without God. The man who lived without God and he died without God, and his riches were just something that happened in this life. He ended up lost forever. And then comes this crucial sentence in verse 21. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. What does that mean? Rich towards God. Surely it doesn't mean giving God loads of money. God doesn't need any money. Psalm 50 verse 12, God says, the world is mine and all that's in it. Now, being rich toward God doesn't mean to enrich God. I think it means count God as your riches. If you're looking around for where to be rich, focus on God. He is our greatest reward. He is our treasure. So laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven would be living in such a way as to maximize God as your treasure. Handle your money, handle your possessions in such a way to show that God and not money is your treasure. So that's point to one. Maximize God, not money. Point to two, you cannot serve two masters. Here's another word from Jesus about money. And this is from Matthew chapter 6. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. What does it mean to serve money? Because bizarrely, understanding that will help us to understand what it means to serve God. How do you serve money? Well, you don't do what money says. Money isn't talking to you like a fiver with a tiny little mouth going, spend me on cake. To serve money means to calculate all of your behavior, to calculate all of your life in order to maximize what money can give you. Always asking what benefit and fulfillment could come to you from money. That would be serving money. Does that make sense? You were out there a minute ago. So what does it mean, then, to serve God? Well, let's stick with that comparison. Serving God means calculating all of your behavior, calculating all of your life to maximize the pleasures you can get from serving and loving God. All the benefit and fulfillment you can get from serving Him. It's actually impossible to serve God and money. They're mutually exclusive. Either you're angling to make God your treasure in everything, or you're angling to make money your treasure in everything. So laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven means to calculate all of your behavior and all of your life to maximize the benefits you get from serving the Lord. So point two, you can't serve both God and money. You've got a choice to make. Point three, I guarantee Jesus is going to raise a few hackles on this one. Sell your possessions. So I get Luke chapter 12, 32. And I love this passage of scripture. Jesus is speaking again. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, where no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There is a connection between laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, which we've been looking at, and selling your possessions and providing yourselves with purses that don't grow old. Jesus is saying this second command, selling your possessions and giving to the poor, is how you do the first. The answer of how people provide for themselves treasures in heaven is you take your money, you take your possessions, and you show your freedom from them. It's not your God, it's not your treasure. You love people, and you want people to love God too. And you're showing your love for God to them by sharing more and more of what you have. You're showing people what it means to have God as your treasure by giving material things, by giving possessions, by giving money away. And in doing that, your joy in God, your treasuring of Him alone, grows and grows. Years ago, I went on a weekend retreat to a Franciscan friary in Dorset called Hillfield. And we went there to spend time with the Franciscan brothers for a long weekend, just joining in with the rhythm of their life. And it was an amazing experience, a wonderful experience. And during one of the meals, I ended up talking to a fellow called Brother James. And we talked throughout the meal, and by the time the meal ended, we hadn't finished talking, so he invited me to go back to his room where we could carry on having a gather. And we went into James's room, and he had a bed, and he had a small desk with a chair, he had a small tall boy, but a small boy, with a few clothes in it. He had a coat hanger with a spare habit hanging down. And James explained to me that the bed, the little desk and the chair, the drawers, all belong to Hillfield Friary. All James owned was a few clothes and a coat hanger and a spare habit. James was one of the freest people I've ever met. James knows God in a way that I just aspire to. Point of three, sell your possessions. Point of four, a shepherd, a father, a king. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Jesus gives us a motive for this kind of lifestyle, for sitting light on our possessions, for having open and giving hands. Do not be afraid, little flock. Now, is anybody feeling at all unsettled about what Jesus has been saying to us this morning? Because if you haven't, you're a bit weird. We tend to be afraid. We're so used to clinging onto what we can see and touch and handle. We think that if we give that much to the church or this much to a charity that looks after the poor, if we stop treasuring our money and our possessions, we won't have enough. Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock. And if he calls us a flock, what's he? He's a shepherd. Do not be afraid, little flock, it is your Father's woe. Now we have a father and we have a shepherd. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now we have a king. Jesus piles up the pictures of God to take away our fear of giving and to encourage us to lay up treasures in heaven. He is a shepherd, he's a father, he's a king. Shepherds know everything that their sheep need to live and provide for them. Fathers take incredible care of their children. Kings have authority and power to get it done. And God is all of that for you. So don't be afraid. Be lavish, cheerful, generous givers. Treat God as your treasure above all treasures. And then show him how much he's your treasure by giving and giving and giving. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people out there gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. See, what Jesus is highlighting here isn't how much we give, it's how much we've got left. That's the measure of our giving. How much have we got left? Do we have enough? Or have we got more than enough? Enough is a great place to be because we've got enough. It's when we find ourselves thinking, but I want more. That's when the alarm bells start to ring. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Notice Jesus didn't say your treasure follows your heart. What he says is that your heart follows your treasure. I remember my dad used to spend most of his time at the breakfast table with the Times when it was a broadsheet, poring over the stock market pages. And he'd mutter about the losses, and every now and again he'd get really cheery when one of his companies was making a profit. I don't ever remember him getting excited about the Bible or the things of God, because he wasn't invested in the things of God like he was invested in money. So let me ask you, do you wish you cared more about eternal things? What the Lord is plainly telling us is to reallocate what we're invested in, to reassess what we're invested in. We put our resources, our assets, our money and possessions, our time and talents and energies into loving God and his kingdom. We maximize God as our treasure and then watch what happens to our souls, because we've reallocated our investments. The Christian life should be the pursuit of maximum joy in God. Joy in quality and joy in quantity. Psalm 16, verse 11. You, God, make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And fill me with joy there is literally satiated with joys, saturated with joys in your presence. That fullness of joy, that joy forevermore, are only ever found in God, our treasure. Here's a picture of a man's hand holding a compass. And as surely as that compass needle follows north, our souls will follow our treasure. Money leads, hearts follow. So would you take time to reassess your giving, starting with God's ministry here? Our church needs more, some of us surely have more. It may not be today or next week, but soon. It's my 66th birthday next January. I know I only look barely over 65, but 66 next January, and I get my state pension. And that income will make a difference to Cora and myself, but I'm already anticipating thinking about our giving. I spoke to Jimmy, Jimmy's our treasurer. I spoke to Jimmy about this. For example, if we are able to increase our giving by £20 per person per month, multiplied by 105 members, multiplied by 12 months, it equals £25,200. Add on 20% for gift day, which is the average, and that makes an increase in income £30,240. And that is only half of our annual deficit, but that would be amazing. Now, my guess is that it is impossible for everybody, but my guess is possible for some of us. So will you pray about it? Let's ask God to show us where our treasure really lies. Let's ask the Lord to unravel why we still fear giving our possessions and our money away. Let's be prepared to act. Of course, when I say our possessions, it's never about how much of my money I'm going to give God. It's about how much of God's money I'm going to keep for myself.